BBC Radio Bristol.
John Darvill.
Our parents, our backgrounds are among the many things that shape us as we grow up. It's a sort of question between nature and nurture, I suppose, isn't it? Our next guest was inspired by his daughter. He wrote a book that was to get his daughter thinking, and it certainly did that. And we're going to hear from the daughter, but let's first hear from the writer. Ben Mears is on the line. Ben, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, John.
Thank you so much for being on the programme. We're going to hear from Henna a little later this half hour. But let's just talk about you, the dad. Before you started writing for your daughter, who was 10 at the time, were you a writer? Were you somebody who thought, I'm going to write something? Or were you something completely different?
I was trying to be a writer. I think a writer in learning, I would say. And, the book that actually began after a conversation with my daughter, which inspired the whole thing, was just one in a long line of others, really. But it did lead to me self-publishing.
Now, it's a thing, isn't it? There are lots of people who, you know, feel that they have a book inside them. That's the expression, is everybody has a book inside them. It's not the first book, it's probably the second or third that's always the tricky one.
Yeah.
But then the first one is how do you do it? You know, do you write like somebody else? Do you write like your favourite author? Do you think of a genre that you can come up with? But it's got to be your own voice, Ben, hasn't it? That's the trick with this.
It has, really, and I'd advise anyone trying to write to do an awful lot of reading as well, and to, you know, you learn from both sides of that line, whether it's good writing or bad writing that you're taking in, learn from it, pick up the good things and make sure you don't fall into the bad habits that you come across.
So before you started writing the Haunting of Tyler May, what were you writing? What were you playing with as a writer?
I was writing historical murder mysteries back then, none of which have been published, so they've all kind of been shelved. But I did, you know, they served a purpose in that I was learning to write, I would say, and,
Maybe you could do a J.K. Rowling and publish them under a different name.
I would like to go back to one of them in particular, revisit that, but it would need completely rewriting, because I've had a look at it numerous times over the last few years, and it's not good enough. It needs work.
That's brutally honest of you, Ben. I suppose that's what comes about when you know you've got something right. You probably know why everything else was wrong to arrive at that point.
I think you're right. Yeah. Yes, definitely. And back then when I wrote the manuscript I'm referring to there, I probably thought it was brilliant. You know, it was ticking every box for me at the time. But reading it now, I can see that the writing style isn't good enough. It's just the phrasing isn't correct here and there. Just got mistakes in it, you know.
Okay.
But you learn.
Well, and I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? And the conversation that you had with your then 10-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
What was that conversation where, you know, the light bulbs went off in your head? What was it?
Well, the thing that triggered it was a conversation. We were stuck in a traffic jam coming home, and we were there for quite a few hours with nothing really to do other than talk. And Hannah, my daughter, who was about 10 years old at the time, had just completed reading the Harry Potter series and thoroughly enjoyed it. She was really into that. And at that place where we've all reached in a series books or a TV series that you really love, you get to the end of it and you think, oh no, I'm kind of not annoyed, but, you know, kind of, where's the next one going to come from? What can I read now? You know, sort of not disappointed or annoyed, but you know what I mean, kind of sad that it's come to an end. She was in that place with that series, and I was thinking, which prompted me to think, what can I give her next to keep her reading? And so I was thinking, well, you know, she's enjoyed the magic kind of aspects of the Harry Potter thing and adventure and all that. I was thinking she needs to be a book that's maybe about a teenage girl, maybe a few years above her age, who maybe finds a magical artifact that sort of draws her into a spooky adventure. And that's the kind of thought process. And I was trying to pick the name of a book out of the air that I could go and get for her and say, there you go, read that now, because that's also good. And it didn't happen. I didn't really come across a book name already written out there. I more so began work on my own storyline through that little process. So that's how that was inspired.
In essence, it seems like a simple idea, but actually when, you know, it's a sort of... It's establishing that there is a need for these sorts of things, isn't it? It's establishing that you have a daughter who clearly loved reading. If she ploughed her way through all the Harry Potter books, she clearly enjoyed the arc of you know, from the young children to the end of it all. And it is that hunger. Where do you go next? Now, of course, you can repeat the same thing, and there's been lots of people who, I mean, you saw it at the time. Everyone starts buying Harry Potter, then you can't, you know, every bookshop you go into, you're falling over wizards. It's just like, there has to be something new, doesn't there? And what intrigued us about your story is that you put in within the heroine, and it was a heroine.
Yes.
What some would see as a flaw, but you saw as part of who she was.
Well, yeah, I think when you come to put in any character in your book, Beware if you're going to make them perfect, that, you know, no one's going to really associate with them, because none of us are perfect. And not even me, you know, unbelievable. But, you know,
me too.
I'm not perfect. Yeah. And so you're looking really for flaws in your characters, just to deepen their character, you take away sort of any perception of 2D characters and make them 3D, make them deep, give them some depth, give them some flaws, give them some positives, and, you know, give them some pros and cons, really, in their characters. So this was one I fixed upon, and really, I suppose that came about because at the time I was writing three teenage girl characters, the main characters in this book, which was my then 10-year-old daughter, and I had three daughters of my own, and I kind of pick and mixed aspects of their characters to form the three characters of the girls in the book. So I did steal characteristics, but I did not take each of my girls and rewrite them in the book, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you took bits that you knew would work. So they're sort of composites, which I suppose is the best thing, isn't it? Otherwise it becomes a little bit sort of perhaps too close for comfort. Before we take a pause for Desire, because I want to bring Hannah in before we do that, Desire by You Too. You picked on obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yes.
OCD. Why?
It's because one of our family members at the time was exhibiting some sort of OCD tendencies. And so I guess that was on my mind at the time. And I thought that might be quite a nice thing to work with. But as it happens, you know, it's been quite good to raise awareness of the whole thing. And it was good for Hannah to read because it was quite, it taught her quite a lot, I think, about the differences in people and accepting differences and dealing with these things.
That's the positive, isn't it? It's recognizing something before it becomes a crisis. It's something we've talked about a great deal on this program, and I make no apologies for it, that mental health is about being aware of what's going on before you end up having to deal with the crisis as you do with your physical health. So, quick question. How long did it take you to write it?
The first draft was about 2 months, but then an awful lot of work tidying up for months and months after that.
So
it was done so quickly.
Okay, so 2 months to write it, but then tidying it up. At what stage did Hannah read it?
She read the first page over my shoulder, pretty much, as I was typing. I said, come here, because about a few hours after we got home from the car journey I previously mentioned, I'd written a page or so, and I said, come and read this, see what you think. And
well, I'm going to let you stop there, because I'm going to bring Hannah in, and I'm going to ask, because before we pause for you too, I'm going to ask Hannah, you're in the car, Dad's talking about writing, you're 10, because you're 19 now, you read that first page, what did you think, Hannah?
I just thought it was great, because I was... So the feeling that Dad described did not do it justice. The feeling of finishing such a brilliant series that you really loved and you really resonated with the whole time, and to suddenly feel like you don't have that to go back to anymore, it was so exciting to have something that felt like it was just for me, that was tailored to what I wanted, that Dad knew what I liked in the books, what I didn't like, what sort of characters I would relate to, what sort of storylines I would enjoy. It was great to just see it all be weaved together.
Did you lock him in the room until he wrote the first chapter?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Excellent. I want to talk more to you, Hannah, because I think that in part this is maybe one of the reasons you're studying psychology at university. Ben started writing these books for Hannah, who obviously read the first page and then wanted Dad to complete it that night. Would that be a fair thing, Hannah? Would you want you now, Dad?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Now we were touching on Hannah, what your dad created, which was this character with a flaw, which was personal because it was something within the family. When you read the finished book, what did you feel, having gone through the series of Harry Potter and having been the sort of, I need something else, what can I read? What did you feel when you read the full book?
I thought it was amazing. I was really impressed. Not that I wasn't expecting great things.
Yeah.
But you've never written a book for me before. Nobody's ever written a book for me before. And that's what it felt like. And it was great. And I really enjoyed it. And I felt like I had a really special experience. Like, not a lot of people can say that their dad listened to their, you know, listened to what they liked and produced them a book.
But the difference there is that it's very personal to you, Hannah. Ben, it's also very personal to you too. But the it's more than just a vanity project, isn't it?
I want to become a writer, really. I'm not trying to change the world here through what I'm writing, and I certainly don't set out to preach when I write. I try and write a really good story, you know, plot-based, plot-driven and character-driven story, which will enthral people. That's the thing. But what I find is that along the way, these things creep in, and the OCD thing came into it, and other themes have come into it as well. One of the characters is a goth, and so that was interesting to work with.
And that's about you exploring, perhaps taking yourself out of your own comfort zone, isn't it? Because, I mean, you always say, as one of the first principles, Ben, as I'm sure you've heard many a time, write what you know. But sometimes you've got to write stuff you don't know to get the juices going, I would imagine.
Yeah, I guess so. Any writer writes from their own experiences or from knowledge that they have, I think. You can't really do anything else. And I think I've got, you know, a lot of people say, Ben, you wear an awful lot of black. Are you okay? You know, I do actually kind of have a bit of sort of, I wouldn't say I'm a goth, but I wear an awful lot of black. And so even just doing that, I get noticed sometimes and it's pointed out. Not that I have a problem with that, but I can imagine what life might be like if that's how you want to dress, like a proper goth, and the comments you might get and the stigma that you might experience could be quite...
Let's ask Hannah, because you're 19, this was started when you were 10, you're 19 now, you're studying psychology. There's an interesting thing there, isn't there, that being judged by how you look by people who don't know who you are, Hannah?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So when the books were coming out and I was sort of reading them as he wrote them, you know, knock on the door and ask if he's got any more for me to read sort of thing. But at the time, it was a really important lesson to have taught to me so subtly.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually reading about characters who have such diversity, you know, Lucy being a goth, she's sort of edgy and, you know, doesn't take anything from anyone. And you've got this sort of normal, slightly meek and shy, clever girl. And then you've got Tyler, the main character, who's, she's not white. She's got OCD tendencies. But that wasn't the main focus of the story. That was never a pivotal point in her, in the journey that you read about, because obviously it's not a story about her OCD. It's not a story about the fact that she isn't white. And so the fact that you get shown that in a in a different environment really helps it resonate that people are different, and it teaches you tolerance. And
I suppose
learning about that from such a young age, I think, definitely influenced me.
I suppose now, with the benefit of what you're studying at uni, you can understand the definition, you know, that the bits that make you up don't define you. But at the age of 10, I suppose it's identifying when you're reading something, Henna, you think, that's me. Oh, that's a bit of me there. And that's how you get vested in the character, isn't it? You think, I like that person because I recognise myself in it. I wonder what's going to happen next.
You absolutely do, yeah. I really identified with, I really almost looked up to one of the characters, the sort of goth character, and I really took that upon myself. quite a lot of black eyeliner and lipstick and heavy metal going on.
Okay. Is that still the case, or was that what we parents call a phase?
I wouldn't say it was a phase. I would say it's definitely not a phase, but I don't look like that anymore.
secretly playing heavy metal in your rooms.
Yeah.
Good for you.
If anyone looks the same as they did when they were 12, it would be a bit weird. So.
Henna, I couldn't agree with you more. It's been fascinating speaking to you both about the journey to getting these books out there. The Haunting of Tyler May series, which is out there now. Ben, would you, starting sort of going right back to the very beginning from your point of view, would you now say that you're a writer?
Yes, I'm kind of a part-time writer at the moment. I'm a graphic designer as well.
Yeah.
I'm still working away at kind of developing a writing career that I'd dearly love to have. I have by no means made it, but I do have a book deal now, which is lovely, with an independent publisher called Instant Apostle, and they are lovely, lovely people. They've been great with me.
Henna, would you say your dad's a writer?
I would say my dad's a writer, definitely.
Ben, that's all you need to know, really, isn't it? It is all you need to know. Thank you so much for being on the programme. Ben and Henna, the series are out there now. The Haunting of Tyler with a Y. The Haunting of Tyler May. Punch that into a search engine of your choice. Ben and Henna, thank you both for joining me this afternoon on BBC Radio Bristol.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Have a good day. Cheers.
BBC Radio Bristol.
As restrictions continue to be eased, we're keeping everything...